May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our God, our strength, and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated, and you can blow out your candles if you'd like. Well, today, the lessons are all about the presentation of Jesus at the temple, but also it's about Jesus presenting us to God, us being Jesus' light in the world today, to the Gentiles, to everyone we meet. That's why we use the little candles, because we truly represent Jesus wherever we are. It is Jesus, though, who makes us worthy to stand before God. It is Jesus, the sacrifice, and Jesus' life is definitely worth a little more than two doves. But it is Jesus' sacrifice that dedicates us and ransoms us back to God Almighty Himself. Jesus' life being the offering for each and every one of us personally. Think about that. How awesome is that? Jesus presenting us to God the Father. Now, in the Old Testament of Malachi, which if you translate it, it means my messenger, Malachi says, "But who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears?" Well, the answer to that is us. We can. But not because we're so good, not because of ourselves, not because we're holy because of ourselves, not because we do anything at all good. It's because of Jesus. It's Jesus who makes us holy, and it is Jesus that makes us worthy to stand before our God. And then Malachi explains even further in the reading how wonderful God is. I'm going to reread just one of the verses. "For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the descendants of Levi and refine them like gold and silver until they present offerings to the Lord in righteousness." Well, refiner's fire, can hardly say that once, forget it three times, but a refiner's fire is really a great heat, and it takes out all the impurities, and that's what God does for us. And then a fuller was someone who cleaned cloth, like wool cloth, and it actually thickened the cloth. The fuller would thicken the cloth. It made it full. And think about that as an analogy. And then fuller's earth or fuller's soap. It was an alkali that was made from plant ashes, and it was used to clean this wool cloth and make it full. It had a variety of clay that was used to scour and to clean the cloth. And this is how it was done, by cleaning the cloth, bleaching the cloth, wetting the cloth, and then beating the cloth. And that's what God does for us. You ever hear the song, "Melt me, mold me, use me, Lord"? Well, that's what our God does for us. But he doesn't really beat us, but he constantly loves us and teaches us. And then in Malachi, if you look at the action words, the verb, it says, he will sit, he will purify, until. And for me, that means that God will take the time to clean us. That God personally sits there and interacts with us. And God continues and continues and continues to be faithful. He never gives up on us until we become righteous in and through Jesus Christ. We know this all by the gift of Jesus that God gave us. Our Creator is totally committed, totally patient, totally tolerant, totally forgiving, and loving at all times. Jesus, our Savior, He is the source. Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the reconciler, bringing us back to God. He presents us clean and full and righteous to the Lord God, but in and through His own righteousness. And then in Luke, we've got the perfect example in this gospel. We see how truly faithful, committed, and definitely human the Holy Family is. In fact, they're a very poor family. Remember their offering of the turtle doves or the two pigeons? Well, that was only permissible if you were extremely poor, but that was adequate. That was acceptable. That was the law of Moses. If the family was poor, that's what the offering could be. And Jesus' family was that poor. But they may have been poor financially, but not spiritually. Mary and Joseph were true to God, faithful and obedient. They followed all the traditional rites that came from the law of Moses. They were ready and they were prepared. After the 40 days after the birth of Jesus, and of course circumcision was before, but they came because Joseph and Mary brought Jesus to the temple to dedicate Him to God and to offer sacrifice. That was the law. And then also they went for Mary's purification herself, because after a woman gave birth of a male in those days, she was unclean for 40 days. If it was a female, if she gave birth to a girl, it was 80 days. I don't want to go there. But Mary and Joseph were always ready to say yes. They were always ready to be prepared. And that's what we learn from them. And also from the Old Testament lesson, from Simeon and Anna, they were prepared. They were always ready. And we also learn that preparation leads to recognizing the presence of God Almighty. We are to do both. We're to do the same. We are to be prepared and recognize our God and then do for Him. So let's put that in perspective. And I'm not commenting on the absence today at all, being with the Super Bowl, because I know lots and lots of people are very ill. So I'm really not doing a joke about that. But let's use the Super Bowl as an analogy. Or any party, or any occasion. Is there anything wrong before God if we prepare for the Super Bowl, or for a birthday party, or any kind of special occasion? Is there anything wrong with that? No. Absolutely not. But we can ask ourselves, do we prepare that well for God? Do we prepare for the worship of God? Do we prepare for meeting God? Do we prepare ourselves for working for God and showing forth His joy and light in the world? Think about it. What did we do this morning? What did we do each and every day when we woke up? Were we prepared to be Jesus to somebody else? Or did we forget? How about for the Super Bowl? Anybody go to the store yesterday or might be going today or be sure their TVs are hooked up or whatever? If you're streaming it, I can barely understand that, but I know the word. Do we prepare as well for God as we do for other special occasions in our lives? We are to be excited about being with our God. We are to be interested in meeting God and doing His will. Most of all, we're to be able to recognize Him, His love, His compassion, His forgiveness, and then share that. The importance of worshiping God, loving Him, obeying him, and imitating him is our center. Our God, who we worship, we love, and obey, I have to say for myself when I read the psalm, was perfectly described in the psalm. And that's why I called up Maria or emailed Maria and asked her, I said, don't do the psalm, because what I'd like to do is read the psalm together with everybody after the sermon, because this explains our God to us. So if you can, take out your lectionary and we'll say the psalm together. Beginning and ending with the refrain. Lift up your heads, O gates. Lift them high,
O everlasting doors.
How dear to me is your dwelling, O Lord of hosts. My soul has a desire and longing for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh rejoice in the living God.
The sparrow has found her a house, and the swallow a nest, where she may lay her young. By the side of your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Happy are they who dwell in your house. They will always be praising you. Happy are the people whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on the pilgrim's way. Those who go through the desolate valley will find it a place of springs, for the early rains have covered it with pools of water. They will climb from height to height, and the God of gods will reveal himself in Zion. Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Hearken, O God of Jacob. Behold our defender, O God, and look upon the face of your anointed. For one day in your courts is better than a thousand in my own room. And to stand at the threshold of the house of my God, than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is both sun and shield. He will give grace and glory. No good thing will the Lord withhold from those who walk with integrity. O Lord of hosts, happy are they who put their trust in you. Lift up your heads, O gates. Lift them high, O everlasting doors.